its army for the rescue of his truth. He is calling now to battle both the aged and the youth. You can hear his mighty summons in the thunder of his word. Let us stand.
That conflict. And thank you, Cindy, for playing with them, and Cheryl Lynn for your music. My brother and I wish to welcome you this Sabbath day, and it is a beautiful day. I know we've had some bad storms in the area for the last few days, but the Lord has blessed us here, and the rain that waters the earth has brought forth beauty, the grass, the trees, the flowers. And we should always thank him for his goodness. In preparing for this morning, after Tony called me, I gave it some thought as to what scripture to use. And I think I have a good one that the Lord would like us to hear. But before I do that, I would like us to realize, those of you that were here this morning for the morning worship, to hear the songs that we sang, and then for the Sunday school class that Steve taught on the gospel and what we have been given by our Lord and Savior. We have the Book of Mormon that a lot of the world does not have. We have a land that basically is a free land where we can have our liberties and freedoms to worship. And I would like to read a little excerpt from a letter. And I don't care what political party you are from, this letter is a good one. And it was written in 1976. By Ronald Reagan. And he was trying to get the Republican nomination to run for president. And he wrote this letter. And listen to the words. I have long believed there was a divine plan that placed this land here to be found by people of a special kind. We should definitely believe that line. That they have a duty and a destiny. Yes, there is a spirit moving in this land, and a hunger in the people for a spiritual revival. I would hope and pray that that is still true, even though this was written in 76. If the task I seek should be given me, like I said, he was trying to get the nomination from the Republican Party. Listen to this next line. I would pray only that I could perform it in a way that would serve God. And that is what each of us should be praying daily, that whatever we do, we are serving our Lord and Savior. And the scripture I would like to read is from Timothy. And the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy another letter. And I'm only going to read 5 verses of it. But I think this letter could have been written to James Schimmel. Or it could have been written to Rick. Or Richard, or Steve, or Eric. But I firmly believe it could have been written to any of you out there. I don't care whether you're male, female, young, old, priesthood member, not a priesthood member. If you have gone into that waters of baptism and have been laid under and come up and had the elders lay their hands upon your head, I think this letter could have been written to each of us. It's found in 2 Timothy, the 1st chapter, and I'm only going to read starting with the 6th verse. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And listen closely to this verse, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And listen to the way he worded this. Nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Kind of unique words there. He's a prisoner of our Lord. And we're to be afflicted with that gospel. And it continues on. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Shall we open our hymns?
Our Heavenly Father, indeed, you stand at the door knocking that we might open and you enter in. We know, Lord, that you desire to enter into our hearts, to our minds, to fill our whole being. And we pray, Lord, that this day, that purpose might come to pass, that indeed your Spirit would meet us here in great abundance and power, that it might rest upon each one here to strengthen them, to give them hope and encouragement, to take away their fear and their wants and desires for the things of this earth. That our wants and desires, Lord, the thing that we most desire in this life might be that of your kingdom. Lord, purge us of our sin and our iniquity. Help us that we would remain strong and we might be faithful. May you be with our brother Steve and give him those words that you would have him to speak. May you be with each one here, that your Spirit would convey that message to their minds, that they might know the purpose that you have placed them for here, even in this day and this hour. We are so grateful, Lord, for this gospel, for your Son, for all that you have done for us, for your watch care and your protection. And we pray that you would continue with us even in this hour. And may all the glory and the praise be yours, we pray, through Jesus Christ. Amen.
I had here in my hand a dime. Its value, 10 cents. In my other hand, a dollar. 1/10 of $1. The coin is the smallest coin that we have in our monetary system. And yet, when you multiply dimes like the sands on the seashore, it can amount to tremendous amount of monies. Our Lord Jesus Christ sacrificed on the cross for you and me. And all that they ask in return, 10% of our increase. Not of everything that we make, but 10% of what is beyond our necessary means to make a living and our medical expenses. We just celebrated, if I could use that term, April 15th, tax day, that we are required by law to pay our taxes. And I know we pay that begrudgingly, I do, but yet that is what's required for our nation to build up our infrastructure so that we have something other than muddy roads to come to church in. 10% is not much to ask. And we should be willing to pay that. Happily. Should be thrilled to pay that as a gift to our Heavenly Father so that we, His church, can build up our infrastructure and provide for the things that we enjoy. Would you bow with me? Our most kind and gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the sacrifice of your Son. Everything that we own and we use, the tools, automobiles, everything within our life, comes because of your love for us. And we pray, Father, that you would bless these monies that we're collecting today so that it may be used in a wise way to help provide for your church, to take care of the things that are needed to provide for its infrastructure. Pray that you would forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings and accept our gifts and offerings today. In Jesus' most holy and sacred name, we ask this. Amen.
Our scripture lesson today is taken from section 63, paragraph 8, if you will. And now behold, this is the will of the Lord your God concerning his saints, that they should assemble themselves together unto the land of Zion, not in haste, lest there should be confusion, which bringeth pestilence. Behold, the land of Zion, I the Lord holdeth it in mine own hands. Nevertheless, I the Lord rendereth unto Caesar all things which are Caesar's. Wherefore, I the Lord willeth that you should purchase the lands, that you may have advantage of the world, that you may have claim on the world, that they may not be stirred up unto anger. For Satan putteth it into their hearts to anger against you, and to the shedding of blood. Wherefore the land of Zion shall not be obtained, but by purchase or by blood. Otherwise there is none inheritance for you. And if by purchase, behold, ye are blessed. And if by blood, as you are forbidden to shed blood, lo, your enemies are upon you, and ye shall be scourged from city to city, and from synagogue to synagogue, and but few shall stand to receive an inheritance. May the Lord add his Spirit to the reading of these words is my prayer.
It is well with my soul.
Ago now that the same gentleman sang, and at this service when I was preaching, and I told them then that that's all that I could do is to not come down there and sing with them. I feel the same this morning. That hymn is sung, and you can look it up online, by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, with their some 500 and odd members and 100 and some odd concert band. And you can, I suppose, be blessed by listening to that, but you won't be any more blessed than we were right now. When Richard held up that dime in his left hand, my mind immediately went to the Blue Ridge Mall when many years ago they had garage sales down there in the basement. And all that was in those garage sales were books. You could buy these books. I happened to see a book with a picture on it that I
recognize Sister Emma. The book is Emma Smith, The Elect Lady. You're familiar with it. But on the jacket of that book, it had a little bright yellow sticker that said 10 cents. That's how much it's worth to the world. But to me, it meant the world. Because in that little book, you'll find treasures of knowledge that you would otherwise miss. So I recommend that little book to you. And Richard, thank you for holding up that dime to remind me. Another book called Infallible Proofs, which you have, and you know these stories by heart better than I do, probably. There's one in there that's entitled Zion's Redemption by Alfred White, the testimony that he had when the Lord showed him how Zion was going to be redeemed. And we talked about that a little bit in our opening scripture. Alfred had been thinking about the redemption of Zion, for he was troubled, very troubled in his mind, thinking of how Zenas H. Gurley and Jason W. Briggs, what great work they had done for the church, and they did. And yet they failed, did they not? So Alfred had a problem. He had a dilemma. That dilemma was this, that if these men who were so very instrumental in bringing about the reorganization of the church, if they failed, how would it be for us? The Lord gives us insight into that little story. It's more than a story, isn't it? The Lord told Alfred, the time was when my people might have redeemed Zion if they had kept my counsel. But now it has passed out of their power. Has it passed out of our power? I say no. The Lord began to expound to Brother Alfred the way it's going to be. The Lord said, many of my elders misrepresent me when I talk about the judgment day and things of judgment. And perhaps I'm guilty of that. He said, most people think of the judgment as storms, pestilence, etc. He said, but that's not what I mean. The judgment will be from the gift and power of the Holy Ghost as to who would be in the land of Zion and who would not be able to be in the land of Zion. He showed Alfred. Alfred had asked him a question, can you show me a person that I can identify with that would be in Zion and who would not be? The Lord didn't do that. And you see the wisdom in that, don't you? The Lord didn't do that. But the Lord showed him the setting, if you will. He saw a man coming out of that ring, a bright red ring that encircled the land of independence. He saw a man cross that ring and ran out. And he heard him say these words, now I have lost this great blessing because I have not lived up to my privilege. He saw another man run out who didn't seem to care at all if he was inside that ring or not. But to that man who ran out Alfred said, I could see where he had time to repent and prepare himself and come back into that ring if he desired to. And so that's what that man did. He prepared his heart, prepared himself. Saints, have you lived up to your privilege? And when I'm pointing the finger at you, I'm pointing three more right back at me. Am I willing to live up to my privilege, that which I have? If you have your book of Doctrine and Covenants with you, go to section 39. We've talked about this before, where the Lord was going to give James Colville, a Baptist minister, power to do many mighty works. And power shall rest upon thee, he says there in verse 4. Thou shalt have great faith, and I will be with thee, and go before thy face. And the Lord meant that. The Lord wanted to do that for him. And this wonderful message that the Lord gave to the church and to Brother James, that's all where it ended up at. Because Brother James turned to section 40, and you'll see the very next little section, that's perhaps one of the shortest sections in the book. He said, but verily, behold, verily I say unto you that the heart of my servant James Colville was right before me, for he covenanted with me that he would obey my word. And he received the word with gladness, but straightway Satan tempted him, and the fear of persecution and the cares of the world caused him to reject the word. Wherefore he broke my covenant, and it remaineth with me to do with him as seemeth me good. Amen. What a travesty, but a fact of life, that God gives all of us, if we pray, these same powers, the power to bear testimony of him in this work. The power to do many mighty miracles, frankly, with this work. But yet he will not, I say will not, take away your agency, brothers and sisters. I just want to visit with you a little bit this morning. Go to section 66, please. Just for a moment, let's look at verse 1b and 2. Verily I say unto you, blessed are you for receiving mine everlasting covenant. When you covenanted with the Lord in the waters of baptism, you received this covenant of the Lord, a covenant that the Lord cannot break, but we can. Even the fullness of my gospel sent forth unto the children of men, that they might have life and be made partakers of the glories which are to be revealed in the last days, as it was written by the prophets and apostles of old. Verily I say unto you, my servant William, Dr. Marks, that you are clean, but not all. Repent therefore of those things which are not pleasing in my sight, saith the Lord, for the Lord will show them unto you. He will show us what we're doing wrong, you see, for the benefit of your soul and for the benefit of all the souls who listen to your testimonies, you see. This God that will not take away your agency expects something from you. because he said, to whom much is given, much is required, as you know. But yet, if we reject it, just as this one individual did that ran out of that red ring, wanted to repent and come back, he'll allow you and me to do the same. What a wonderful God we have. This God that we have, brothers and sisters, is the God who pleads for you to come back into his presence if we have sinned. Do we really want to have our sins pointed out to us? Nobody does, really. But he'll do that. That you may see those sins that are keeping you from coming into that red ring, into that circle, if you will. If we want to abide the judgment, we must know of our sins of omission and our sins of commission. They're all the same. We can't use the excuse that, oh, I didn't know, Lord, I didn't know that I was supposed to do that while on the earth. You do know. You do know in your heart. When you accepted and when you went down into the waters of baptism, you know what's right, Nephi said, and you know what to do. Joseph III was a remarkable man, as you know. But Joseph III had a disease. We call it facial neuralgia. And Brother Eric could explain it better than me. Today they call it something different. Trigeminal. Thank you, Eric. Neuralgia. Tri, as you know, is three. It's a a thing that tormented Brother Joseph III most of his adult life. It's a sickness or disease where the three main nerve pains come and lodge right here. And it's of excruciating pain, if you've ever experienced it. More than a migraine, perhaps. But he had that disease. But nobody hardly ever knew that. When talking to him, he would give audience to the conferences, etc., to the apostles, the 70s, the elders. Nobody hardly ever knew he had that disease. I didn't until just recently. But it's a very painful disease. He lived with that till the day he died. And I think about that situation when they platted a crown of thorns on the head of our Lord, thrust a sword in his side, and had nails in his feet from those who didn't know him and didn't love him. And how the Lord could take that and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You and I can do no less. Because that pain was exquisite. Even more so than Joseph the Third's. And when Joseph was thinking about the reunion of 1913, known to us as the Nauvoo reunion, he said he had a feeling of melancholy. He was sad about things that happened during those years. But yet, they were the most wonderful years of his childhood, early adulthood. They were wonderful years because of the blessings that came. And you see, the blessings that came from our Lord accepting the fact that he would be injured bodily and spiritually. He overcame that, as you and I need to overcome the pain, whatever pain you're experiencing right now. That time of Nauvoo was the most wonderful period in history. It's written in some history books. We went to a young adult retreat there when I was a young adult. And I was doing the dishes there, cleaning up the kitchen with a few other people. I took the trash out to had a little dumpster right there. I took the trash out, and I noticed Pam and Richard Price standing by the water well, a little well you draw water from, you know. It had the rope on it, and you cranked it up. I don't know if it's there right now or not. But I saw Richard motion to me, come over there. So I set that trash can back in to shut the door, went over there. Closer I got, I could see the look on Pam's face. And Richard's face. And I didn't know this at the time, but they shared with me that down in that well lay the bodies of Hiram and Joseph, the martyr. And there was a moment there that I'll never forget. The Lord blessed us and made us realize that whatever may come, all will be well if we follow the instruction of the Scriptures. And I'm sure that Joseph III, when he wrote a letter to Albert, his nephew, knew that too when he said these words, "Let us partake of the good and the joyous, whatever skies may be over us." And so there you have it, brothers and sisters. No matter what you're faced with, no matter what you're going through, remember these words from Brother Joseph III, to let the dark side of things pass without gloomy effect upon you. Surely his eye is on the sparrow. Surely he sees you going through these troublesome times, brothers and sisters. And as I'm standing here thinking of the youth, there's another story in Infallible Proofs about the youth. This was by Brother A.M. Bailey. I don't know if it's related to J.W.A. or not, Eric, but A.M. Bailey. J.W.A. was Eric's grandfather, apostle in the church. This individual in his youth had a problem concerning dancing. It became a huge problem. Oh, he wanted to dance. He wanted to mingle with the people, to have fellowship with the young people. He said, "Whether asleep or not, I don't remember." He never knew, frankly. But immediately his room started to lighten. And I think of Brother Joseph Jr.'s when Moroni came to him. The light came, and he heard the words from his father, "Someone's come to see you." And A.M. said, "Okay, all right, send him up." I answered, "All right, I'll listen." He was a very pleasant man to look upon, Brother Bailey said. He stood there, and he said, "To see him was to know him, and to know him was to love him." You've seen people like that, to just look at them for the first time and think, oh, I love that person. You've seen that. You've done that. And this individual began to share some things with Brother Bailey. And this is one of the things that he said. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Are you entangled with the yoke of bondage, brothers and sisters? It may not be the subject of dancing. It may be an entirely different thing. Does it tempt you? The Lord said, follow me and ye shall be a free people. We can be free of those things, brothers and sisters. That's found in section 38, paragraph 5b. Follow me and you shall be a free people. Free from what? Free from all the entanglements of sin. Free from thinking, oh, it's okay. I'll just catch the next glory if I can attain celestial glory. And Brother Bailey said that it was a rather small town that he was living in, that every time he passed by that dance hall, as he looked in, he said, I didn't have the slightest urge to attend that. I didn't have the slightest urge to even step foot in that door. And frankly, he felt sorry for those people and began to pray for them. See, that's what the Lord can do for you and for me. As we stand on our own two feet and declare the words with soberness that this God, the God in whom we love, will always succor us in our time of need. Oh, I have so much I want to visit with you about, but I'll let you out a little early today. Go to section 6 for just a moment, paragraph 15, and we'll look at 16 as well. Verily, verily, I say unto you, as I said unto my disciples, he's talking to Oliver here, where two or three are gathered together in my name as touching one thing, behold, there will I be in the midst of them, even so am I in the midst of you. Fear not to do good, my sons, for whatsoever ye sow, that shall ye also reap. Therefore, if ye sow good, ye shall also reap good for your reward. Therefore, fear not, little flock. Do good. Now think of the Lord telling us today, right now, this little flock. Let earth and hell combine against you, for if you are built upon my rock, they cannot prevail. Behold, I do not condemn you. Go your ways and sin no more. Perform with soberness the work which I have commanded you. Look unto me in every thought. Doubt not, fear not. Behold the wounds which pierced my side, and also the prints of the nails in my hands and feet. Be faithful. Keep my commandments, and ye shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Amen.
O God, the eternal Heavenly Father, in the blessed and sacred name of our Savior Jesus Christ, we come before Thee at the end of this service, thanking Thee for our brother Steve and giving him the words which we should hear. Father, we want to set our face toward Thee. We pray that You would keep us in the straight and narrow path and not let us stray from Thy Word. Father, we pray that we might be filled with Your Holy Spirit, that every thought, word, and deed, and our motives may be centered upon serving Thee, bearing witness of Thee to those that we have opportunity to serve. Father, we pray that You bless these Thy people that have gathered in faith. They have come to hear Your word, and we have heard it. And we praise Thy holy name for giving us a place in this house of worship in these last days. You have put us in this time, in this place, for such a time as this. And Father, we rejoice in this. And we have heard stories of the martyrs that have gone before us, that have given their life. They have taken up their cross and served Thee with all diligence. We pray that You would strengthen us to do the same. Strengthen our faith, increase our faith. May we always have our hope in Thee. May our hearts be full of and rejoice day and night in the opportunity and the walk that we have been called therein to serve Thee. Again, in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.